I want to talk briefly about Occam's razor today. It's one of my favorite principles, and we're all probably somewhat familiar with it. But in case you're not, the basic idea is that when comparing explanations, the simplest one is to be preferred. So if two different explanations for a phenomenon have the same explanatory power, they both can explain the phenomenon, then we should prefer the simpler explanation. There's a certain intuition behind this. It simply seems to make sense. But I actually had a little bit of trouble figuring out the logic behind that intuition. But before getting to talking about the justification for the intuition behind Occam's razor, let's talk about a few pitfalls first. I definitely recommend going to the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy about simplicity and Occam's razor if you want to really dig into this, and it's surprisingly dense and surprisingly confounding, actually. First of all, one thing they bring up is that it's actually somewhat rare that we truly have two competing explanations that both explain the data to roughly the same degree, but one is more complex, but one explanation is more complex than the other. That situation doesn't actually arise that often. Another pitfall is the fact that it's not always clear what makes how to define simplicity with regards to an explanation. For instance, if you have one explanation for a phenomenon that says that there are 1,000 of the same type of entities that generate this phenomenon, and then another explanation that says there are only two entities, but those entities are of different types. Which explanation is more complex there? The thousand, but all of the same type, or the two, but of two different types? Like, you get into these weird comparisons. The second aspect that's really important to talk about, and I think actually starts to clear it up a little bit, in my opinion, is, are we talking about ontology or are we talking about epistemology? So, if you take an ontological view of Occam's razor, this is essentially saying that the world itself, in a sense, prefers simpler things within it. So, if we're looking at two different explanations, we're choosing the simpler one because the world is somehow more likely to have that simpler configuration. This seems especially odd to me. But before I comment on that, the other view is epistemology. It's saying forget about the world for a second and just think in terms of how we're looking at the world and what the possible explanations are. And for epistemological, perhaps probabilistic reasons, we should choose the simpler explanation. This is where I think we can actually find some justification for our intuition. The ontological version, and ontology, I should have kind of defined this earlier, ontology has to do with existence. So the ontological version, to me, feels strange because it's kind of like we're saying that the universe owes it to us to be simpler rather than be complex. Like, why couldn't things be complex? Why couldn't the more complex reason behind a phenomenon be the truth? The world doesn't owe us anything to be simpler. So it gets to me much murkier to try to say that the universe is somehow prefer simplicity, so we should prefer simplicity when we have competing explanations, especially since some things don't seem that simple in existence. I'm no physicist, but quantum mechanics, at least on its surface, most people would not say is the simplest thing to understand, and yet it's the most fundamental layer of reality. Now you can quibble, once again, you can start to quibble about what how to define simplicity exactly. But my point is, I think we really lose that intuition when we try to talk about the ontological version of Occam's razor. I think it's much more justified and easier to understand to see Occam's razor as an epistemological tool. And hey, I love epistemology. So let's talk about that. What is really going on when we prefer a simpler explanation? So if we take a really obvious example, I think we can see the justification for the intuition. So let's say you're at a crime scene, or you're at the scene of someone's death, And you and another detective are looking at it, and you say, "I think this was a murder, not a suicide." The other person says, "I think it was a murder, and the murderer was wearing a blue hat." Which explanation has more intrinsic probability to it? Well, the simply stating that it's a murder has more intrinsic probability because your other detective saying it was a murder, but also the murderer was wearing a blue hat, includes your explanation. So your explanation has to be right for their explanation to also be right. This is a very oversimplified example. That's not, very analogous to real world comparisons with Occam's Razor, probably, but I'm just trying to illustrate the point. So my explanation is simpler, and it ne has no need of the blue hat hypothesis, especially if there's no evidence for there being a blue hat. Now, if there's video footage of the murderer wearing a blue hat, then you can also add that on. But even then, I'm not saying they didn't have a blue hat. So right there, if we have no further data, if we have no data for the blue hat, then my explanation is the simpler one, and it's to be preferred. Now, hearing that example, you might not think it's the best type of best example of an Occam's razor comparison, because it's almost like a Russian doll situation where a second explanation that we're comparing includes the first explanation. But the reason why I kind of like that is because I think that maybe that's the best way to see different levels of explanation in the first place. In other words, explanations that venture either a little ways out into the unknown to explain things or make great leaps into the unknown. So saying the murderer has a blue hat for no particular reason, having no particular reason to say that, including that in your explanation, is this greater leap into the unknown where it feels more and more like you're taking a shot in the dark and therefore is intrinsically less likely to be correct. So I think this was a key aha moment for me with Occam's razor, because at first I was thinking in terms of sort of lining up explanations side by side, kind of like when you're lining up criminals in those was back to detectives in a detective show where they have the criminals line up and a witness is, choosing among them about who committed the crime. And this is where I would lose my intuition, because let's say you're talking about where lightning comes from, what causes lightning. Then why is it somehow better to posit two or one phenomena behind lightning causing lightning versus two phenomena? Why it could be two. And looking at bare math, two is not somehow less likely than one. I mean, probabilities are always with respect to something. So it's hard to see, like, why is one to be preferred? This kind of goes back to the ontological version of Occam's razor. It just why couldn't there be two components to lightning versus one? One is simpler. So I struggle with this intuition. And I was having trouble coming up with a hard and fast, like, logical rule behind it. What helped me to realize is to see it in terms of what I said earlier, which is sort of stepping further into the unknown versus staying closer to what we already know to explain the same thing. So one helpful way to see it is, instead of when I say there's only one thing causing lightning, it's not as much that I'm truly trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of lightning and say there truly is only one thing going on here, period. It's more like I'm drawing a black box around lightning and I'm calling it the cause of lightning. So there's just this one thing that I'm putting a black box around, and this is the cause of lightning. And inside that, there could be more going on. But as a placeholder, this is as far as my knowledge has gone. If I live in the ancient world and I'm trying to figure out what causes lightning, I could draw on a cave wall, let's say, since I don't have a whiteboard, say the cause of lightning. Now, the more I investigate it, I might see different things interacting and fill in the picture more. But this is where it gets to that thing where one explanation includes another. Those further explanations don't really they're not in a discrepancy with my initial explanation, because my initial explanation was this black box explanation. So then my intuition could lock onto this more. It goes back to sort of the black swan epistemology about slowly stepping further out into the unknown. So it's a murder, and so therefore there's a murderer, but we don't know if that murderer was wearing a hat or not, or what color it was. When we do, then we can add on that piece of information. So it becomes more like this telescoping, and we don't want to telescope farther out than our knowledge justifies. And that is a more intuitive way to understand how Occam's razor works, in my opinion, than it is to line up different explanations and say arbitrarily the one with a lower number within it is simpler and therefore better. I don't know if that helps anyone, but that helped me sort of, yeah, get a sense, an internal intuitive sense of how Occam's razor works. And it helped me see how you can use Occam's razor in really powerful ways, against the simulation theory of the universe. And also explain some philosophical puzzles, like how we can justify the regularity of nature. So let me take those in turn. And they're similar too. So the simulation theory of the universe is that we're all in a simulation, and this is not the real reality, that this is a layer inside of it, essentially. You could also, the same thing goes for the idea that I'm a brain in a vat. Maybe you're a brain in the vat too, or maybe I'm the only brain. Any of those sort of solipsistic views. So the reason why I think Occam's razor is such a powerful tool, especially this Occam's razor, the way I'm seeing it, where you're telescoping, you're seeing it as a telescope out into the unknown of explanations, and you want to stay only, you only want to go as far out as your knowledge justifies. Because if you go farther out, you're shooting it, you're making shots in the dark, which is like saying the murderer has a blue hat. It's a shot in the dark. You do have reason to believe there's a murderer, and they might have a blue hat, but you have no reason to step further out into that unknown and put down a new peg. You don't have that information, therefore it's unjustified. So, the simulation theory. The simulation theory explains everything about our reality, and it adds on another layer. And I would say that layer is simply unjustified. A realist view of this reality, a non-simulation view, and also explains all of this reality. It says it's simply all there is, and it does not add on an extra layer. So the simulation theory adds on this extraneous layer and does nothing else. So therefore, it becomes just like saying that the murderer has a blue hat. Now, there are other philosophical arguments you can make that we're in a simulation. Fine, those need to be taken and dealt with. And in that case, they're making an argument based on the simulation theory. In that case, is supposedly explaining things that a non-simulation theory could not explain. Now you're not dealing with Occam's razor anymore, because their explanations explain don't explain. They explain two different things, essentially, two different sets of data. So that becomes a little bit different. Same with the brain of that, because people raise this. I'm not saying necessarily serious philosophers, but it's a fun thought experiment. Why couldn't I be a brain in a vat? There's no reason I couldn't. Like, I could be. So, on when you just take it that bare case, it can feel like, is it 50-50? Is it 50% that I'm not a brain in a vat, that this is all there is, and 50% that I am a brain in a vat? And I would say absolutely not. That is absolutely not the case. It is 50-50. It's far more likely that I'm not a brain in the vat, because the brain in the vat adds this extra layer to reality. There's reality, and then there's the lab somewhere in another dimension where I'm the brain. And that is this shot in the dark, telescoping out into the unknown that is completely unjustified. Similarly, an argument about the regulation and regularity of nature could be made the same way. So this is another famous philosophical puzzle of, like, how can we argue that the laws of nature will be the same tomorrow? Now, a knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, it's always been that way, so it will be that way tomorrow. But that becomes circular reasoning. I think it's circular, or at least it's fallacious reasoning, because even though it's always happened that way, that ultimately has no meaning about what it will be tomorrow. Like, It could be different tomorrow. The Thanksgiving turkey thinks everything's going great until the week before Thanksgiving. And so you can't use, I mean, it's kind of like past data is not indicative of future performance, that you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful with induction, essentially. So this gets into very knotty issues about induction, which I don't want to get into. But as you can see, there's no real reason the laws of nature could not be totally different tomorrow. So, how do you argue that they will be the same? And I would argue we have a very strong intuition that they will be the same. For some reason, it feels far more likely they will be the same tomorrow. And I would argue it's for the same version of Occam's razor. I'm positing this epistemological kind of telescoping version. And it's that for the laws of nature to all be different tomorrow, that means that all of reality is how we see it. Plus, there's an extra system on top of it, an extra rule on top of it that says on August 4th, 2023, that's tomorrow as I record this, everything will change. So you're having to add this extra rule to explain how everything's going to change tomorrow. The problem is that rule is telescoping into that unknown that is completely unjustified. It's another shot in the dark. So and the reason why our intuition is so against that is because immediately we want to ask why not any other rule? Why not any other date that all the laws of nature break down? It just all of a sudden we realize these are all shots in the dark. They're unjustified extra layers. Are they all possible? Of course. But now we're just talking about metaphysical possibility, which there's a literal infinite number of things that are metaphysically impossible, and to arbitrarily choose one is a shot in the dark. So hopefully some of this helped you understand how you can look at Occam's razor in different ways and maybe help you with the intuition behind it. For me, just something about changing it from this horizontal scanning among different probabilities, different explanations, just lining them up and randomly choosing the one that had fewer entities, that I was like, that feels so arbitrary. I've lost my intuition when I think of it that way. But when I started thinking about more in terms of like a black box and filling in explanations, like kind of drawing an outline of something and only filling in the colors as we have more information. And so in a lot of ways, the more complex explanations are often filling in those colors, telescoping further out into the darkness than we are justified. So hopefully that helped you understand Occam's razor a little bit better.